Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
And welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you, sitting in for Six Eyes on this Sunday, June 26, 2022, saying welcome one, welcome all to the program today as we get rolling on here, and saying welcome one, welcome all, especially our surrounding city and state, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you and all those good things. Right now, we're waiting on Brother Six to join us. He's not with us just yet, but he will be with us shortly. So,
hey, Kenny.
Yeah?
We kind of got a surprise for Six on three-way out here.
Yeah.
Is it three-way call?
Yeah, so we'll just keep that quiet until the right time. How's that?
Okie dokie. Okay, Ma?
Uh-huh.
Just go
okay.
Nuts.
All right, for right now, why don't we open with a word of prayer and get this show started off on the right foot, as they say. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, right now, as we start this here program, that you would just touch each and every heart and each and every life, Lord Jesus. We ask you now, Lord Jesus, as we start this program, that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, Lord Jesus. And let them get in contact with us so we could rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, Lord Jesus, out there, we ask the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with COVID-19, we ask, Lord Jesus, a special blessing to pray. First off, for those dealing with COVID-19, for the family and friends who lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, that you just touch them, Lord Jesus, and comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are dealing with COVID-19 as we speak, we ask you to touch and comfort them as only you can and raise them up out of the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked, rotten situations that we read about in the newspapers, hear about on the television set or the radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to, Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Now we're going to get into our scripture reading for the day. And we hope everybody enjoys this. It's a good little scripture reading, and here we go.
This is Psalm 150, verses 1 to 6. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. With Psalm 150, verses 1 to 6, may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
And that there's some good information right there. When you think about it, a lot of people wonder, there's some churches out there who teach, well, you shouldn't use any kind of instruments in praise and worship or in singing or anything to do with worship of the Lord. Right there, that psalm tells you different. Use all kinds of instruments to praise the Lord. And it's not the instruments, it's what you play on them. Amen. All right. Let us get a song on here.
Hey, Kenny, no sign of assist yet?
We'll check, and then after this song, if he's there, we'll get his mic open.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. He's not available just yet, but when I see him, I'll go ahead and open his mic.
All right.
One, two,
a whole day since I stopped so you could hold me. big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free. And you're still the refuge that I've just got to get to. So I won't let it say go. Won't let it say goodbye. So put the drop top down, turn it up, I'm ready to fly. And
to this building, you brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, won't be the into your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind. Oh, your body and hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah.
He can heal.
And he can mend a broken.
He can mend your broken head.
He has
the miracle. Oh yes, you will, thank you, Lord.
about your situation. But with every test, it's every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you. Oh, he'll set you free if he will. God, you promised me, said he would. That you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to fit your needs, go tell the Lord, oh, what you have received. Hallelujah. Mended my
truth is I'm tired options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe. My heart.
Pastor Bonnet, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. God bless you. How you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you doing today?
Man, I am doing good. I'm thankful to be alive. I'm ministering from the truck today because we have another activity going on at the church where we're doing a little meet and greet. And so I wanted to be able to still do the program today and then get back in and fellowship with the other saints. So I am ready to minister if y'all are ready to receive the ministry.
Go ahead. We are ready.
How are you?
All right. God bless you, Sister Emily. I don't hear Brother Sick.
We got a surprise on my line 4-6 whenever he shows up.
Okay, because I want to say happy belated birthday to him on the program.
Well, he's not here just yet, Brother or Pastor Bonnet. Not yet.
All right. Well, we're going to move right along in the service. Amen. And preferably by the time I'm done ministering, he will be on the program today. This my emphasis was the gift called redemption. Letting us know that redemption is the gift that God gave us. He redeemed us. We know God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would should not perish but have everlasting life. And he do that through salvation, but that salvation is through redemption. I want to share something with the most of us, that no matter how positioned you are in life, the one thing that you cannot do is redeem yourself. I know that seems impossible. You may be thinking all kind of ways that you have justified yourself, but you can't redeem yourself. If you are ever taken hostage, someone has to pay the ransom. It may be your money that pays it, but you can't pay it yourself. Someone else has to intervene in order for that to happen. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So the charges for sin was death. And it was a price that we could not pay. And Christ paid that for us with his death on the cross. But I want to talk about redemption. And I want to use it from a standpoint that many don't understand what it is when we choose the world over God. When we choose the world over God, we choose a different level. Many of us, we say we love God, but we really love the world because we chase money. We chase power. We chase fame. We chase so many things that are not the things that God has told us to go after, not the things that God has told us to establish. And so we put those things before God. In other words, I'm saying that God has loved us, but we haven't loved him. God has been faithful to us, but we haven't really been truly faithful to him. Actually, when we choose other things outside of God, we really commit whoredom against God. I know you don't like that term. It seems harsh. It seems very hard to say we're committing whoredom against God. But as Christians, as believers of God, as believers of Christ, followers of Christ, when we choose the world, we commit whoredom over God. We commit whoredom. I know the word don't sound good, but I want to show you how much God loves us. And he put this story in the Bible and let it be written just for us. There was a prophet, and God called this man and told him to marry a prostitute. Oh, yeah. He told him to marry her for the single purpose of of being an example to the children of Israel. He said, children of Israel is his chosen bride, that he had loved them and taken care of them and have provided for them. And even after he had done all of that for them, they made a conscious decision to run after other things and other people. And so he wanted this prophet to be a mouthpiece and an example for the children of Israel to show God's great love for his people. We find the story in the book of Hosea. For those of you that have your Bible, if you turn with me to the book of Hosea, that's an Old Testament book. We're not going to read it all. We're going to go through it. But in your leisure, take time to really examine the first three chapters. Now, naturally, reading the whole book of Hosea will be beneficial. But for the saving of time and this illustration, we're only going to focus on the three chapters. In chapter 1, we see that chapter 1, verse 2, it says, when the Lord first began to speak to Israel through Hosea, he said unto him, go marry a prostitute. Now, I know that seems strange, but God's love for his people was so severe that he had the man of God to go marry a woman of the night or day, depending on when she worked. But he had her, had him to marry someone that we would say was unmarriable. And whether you save or not save, if you believe in the sanctity of marriage, this would not have been your first choice, to marry someone of prostitution. And so, nevertheless, he tells him, they go marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel had acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods, little G-O-G, G-O-D-S, little G. Amen. He said, by worshiping other gods. So Hosea obeyed God. Now, before we can go on any further, we got to understand that this man truly trusted the word of God, the wisdom of God, and he obeyed God to the point of even marrying a prostitute. And he did that, and he married her, and her name was Gomer. So Hosea married Gomer. All right. And we see that she had children. She had a son, and then she had a daughter. Then she had another son. So she had children, and the children's names was names that was contrary to the will of God. So one name, so their name had implication that the children of Israel was not following the will of God. But this story doesn't stop there. The story doesn't stop there. If you go over to chapter 2, God began to talk to them and talk to him, and he brings the charges against her, and he tells him what to do. He tells him what's going to take place. And so we see in chapter 2 that God even says that he's going to punish. And so the children of Israel went through a certain amount of punishment where their children. And sometimes today, our behavior today or yesterday will affect our children tomorrow. You didn't think about all the partying that you want to do, or the drugs, or the illicit sex, or the alcohol that you was consuming. You didn't think about the promiscuous lifestyles and different things of that nature when you was in your college years, in your younger years. And some even say they were just sowing their wild oats. My Lord, help us today. We did not consider the implications that would take place. And matter of fact, here in America, because Roe versus Wade years ago here, many will take and have abortions and kill their unborn children from the decisions that they made the night before. They would do things to abort the children, committing murder, bringing forth death. And they're wondering why their sense of sanity is gone. When you take a life, it hardens your heart. It does something to you. Many women that have had abortions, they can tell you that something transpired within them. You know that even when a woman loses a child through natural selection or through a natural loss, it grieves her to a core. But to know that you made a decision to take a life, and you got a lot of people out there that was rallying for this, and I am glad to say that the Supreme Court have now reversed Roe versus Wade. And I know we're not going to get a lot of amen because of the right, the woman's right for her body. But what you must understand is that life has rights too. And you may not like it, and that's why we teach abstinence and we teach hold on to your virginity. Now, many of us did not do that. I'm one with both hands up. I knew right from wrong from the very beginning. And so, although I had children young, my first one was born, and I wasn't that young, but I still was young. I was turning 19 when my firstborn was born, and I wasn't married to his mom. And when we make decisions like that, we don't realize how broken families become. We don't realize the strain that we put in the system of life. When we have a child here and a child there, when a brother would talk about his siblings, but he have to say, oh, this is my sibling on my mama's side, this is my sibling on my daddy's side. And there's conversation, countless conversations like that, because we made a conscious decision not to obey the word of God. And many have fallen into poverty because of choices like this. And they have brought children into this world not prepared to take care of them, not understanding the needs of a child. And some children are abused today because someone had a child and wasn't prepared and didn't know and didn't understand and didn't have the love of God in their heart. So we have to be mindful. But the Bible says that he brought charges against Gomer about the actions that she was doing because, and he told her, you're going to chase after lovers, but they're not going to fulfill you. And that's what happened when we get caught up chasing money, chasing fame. And you may get the money, you may get the fame, but it don't fulfill you because God is the reason why we exist, to bring glory to his name. And when we don't have God in our lives, there's still a great void that's in our lives. But his love for us is so great. When we jump over to chapter 3, we see that God's love was so to the point that he goes and he redeems her. And that's what Jesus did. The Bible said he came down through 42 generations. And he was born and he paid the ultimate price to redeem us. In other words, the charge that was laid for our redemption, the charge was death. But it had to be a perfect death. And since we couldn't live a perfect life, we couldn't pay the full price. But Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin to pay our full price. And we see that the love for Gomer, this prophet had, that he went, and not only did he take money and redeem his wife, he tells her, I'm not going to bother you for a moment, and don't you bother nobody else for a while. In other words, he told her, we're going to stop all sexual relationship with you and get your mind right. A lot of times, the first issue in any problem solving and conflict resolution is taking that first step and stopping. The problem with the drug addict and the ones that are the alcoholic, the real problem is the STOP, to stop. Many times we blame our circumstances for the reason why we did what we did. You ask somebody, well, why you do drugs? Well, you know, the pressure of life, you know, I just need an escape. You tell them, well, why you drink? Well, I have to unwind. I have to relax. And I'm suggesting to all of them that may have that answer or one similar, that Matthew 6:33 says, seek first, not second, not third, not fourth, not at the end of your life, but seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. And all these things will be added. What things? The things you need to have a fulfilled and successful life. And so, although Gomer, Hosea had allowed Gomer to go out there and do all that she did, he did put away. In fact, God said, go and love your wife again. And I want to speak to every person that made a mistake out there. I want to speak to someone that think that you're unworthy, that God couldn't possibly love you, that as he told this prophet, this man of God, to go and, number one, he told Hosea from the beginning, go marry a prostitute. So God had you in his mind from the very beginning. And even after she done wrong, and even after she, as they say, even after she broke bad and went way out there, God still told him, go get her. He said, go get her. Go love her and love your wife again. Men, the commandment to love your wife is given to the husband. That's why, you know, there's nothing authorizing relationship between two women or two men, because if you the husband and he the husband, there's no commandment. There's nothing God has commissioned that direction. There's no blessing. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. He, not she. So you miss out. And I know we're in a day and time where you can do what you want to do. It's legal. And that's true. It's legal, but it's not lawful in the eyes of God. It may be legal by man's law, but man's law cannot override God's law. Just like we cannot override the laws of nature, we can apply other laws to operate within them, but what goes up must come down. Yeah, the airplane can fly as long as it still has fuel. Yes, the hot air balloon can rise above the clouds as long as the helium is still helium, as long as it's still producing. Mm-hmm. But sooner or later, it succumbs to the original law. And you may be able to have a relationship that is outside of the will of God, but sooner or later, you will succumb to the original will of God. That's why the Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sooner or later, we're going to have to say yes to God, whether you agree or disagree. There's a day of judgment coming, but just like God gave Hosea to purchase, to be an example here, to let him know that he still loves his people, you may be in error. You may be one of those in this pride community, LG, all those initials. And so that doesn't mean God don't love you. And teen, about it is not a hate message. It is a message of warning before destruction. It's amazing regardless to how you feel about it. If God said one thing, that's what he said, that's what he meant. There's no awakening that you can do that can override the will of God for mankind. God put a structure. That structure was a family order, husband, wife, children. He gave a commandment to the man to be an example of leadership in his home, and not to dominate, to abuse, but to lead. To lead by example. He gave strength to the woman to render support to the vision that he sent to the house. And he sent that vision to the house for a purpose. When Jeremiah said, I know my thoughts towards you, declare the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That means God had a plan of your beginning and to your end. Because in that same book, he said, before I formed you, I knew you. While you was in your mother's blood, in the womb, I had already ordained you, sanctified you for a purpose. The purpose for your life, God had already planned. The problem is, we think we know best for us. To us that have children, when we are trying to tell our children, eat your vegetables. And that goes after us. They nasty, they're good for you. But they'll eat them anyhow. And see, when we go against God's will, we're telling God, God, we don't want your vegetables. He said, eat it anyhow. God, we don't want your word. Eat it anyhow. Why? Because it's good for you. It's going to help you grow strong. It's going to help you grow the right way. And the reason why there's identity crisis in our world today, the reason why there are low self-esteem today is because from time to time we challenge or doubt the word of God instead of simply applying the word of God. I know it's hard to receive, but many of our troubles are simply because we didn't do what God say do, how God say do it. Or we may have come back and tried to line up, but we didn't do it the way he told us to do it, when he told us to do it. I remember when I was just a little child, I was in kindergarten, and I remember being told that I was going to have to leave the house on my own to go to the bus stop, which was simply around the corner. I mean, literally, from my doorstep, past one set of doors, that's the corner, and go probably 20 yards more to the corner, literally around the corner, 2-3 minute walk from a little child, literally around the corner. And the bus stop that will pick, the school bus that will pick me up, will pick me up at a certain time. And I can remember being instructed the day before that they were going to call me when to leave the house. So I would leave the house in time to catch the bus. But for whatever reason, I don't remember, I was lagging behind that morning. And I didn't get to eat all of my breakfast. And so when the phone call came and stepdad said, all right, it's time for you to leave the house. I said, okay, I'm getting ready to leave the house. Leave the house now. I decided, I guess, to finish up my food and doing whatever it is else that I was doing, but I didn't leave right there. When I did leave, went around the corner, I noticed that the other kid that would have been at the bus stop was not there. And so I'm standing at the bus stop by myself, and just so happened the bus stop was near the city bus stop. And in my mind, I'm thinking a bus is a bus to take you where you go. And so I decided I need to catch the bus. I had one problem. I didn't have no money. So I began to ask folks that was passing by, can you give me some money to catch the bus? And to my great surprise, they gave me money to catch the bus. I'm so glad when they said God watches over fools and babies. I think I was both that day, a little foolish and definitely a baby. Because the bus did not come. And I waited for hours. And the bus did not come. It was years later, reflecting on this, that I realized had I gotten on the bus, it would have took me not to my school, but to the end of its route. And had I got out or got off the bus anywhere, I would have been lost. And my family would not have known where in the world I would have been. I'm so glad that what I tried to do, God didn't allow it to happen. A lot of times in life, we get mad at God because for whatever reason, we think that he has blocked some stuff and he won't allow us to do. And it was a good thing for me to want to go to school, but the thing was, I did it not in the time that I was told to do it. And so some of us, we get in trouble because we try to do stuff, but we didn't do it in the time that God told us to do it. And we haven't operated within the time frame that God has told us. And so perhaps maybe in this season of your life, the reason why things are not happening before you is because God is trying to keep you from being lost. But you're saying, brother preacher, but I got well-intentioned, so did I. But you were a child, and so are you when it compares to who God is. Even if we only use the standard of who Christ is by his earthly age, we are mere children. We are children trying to tell our Father how to take care of us, when our Father had made plans long before we got here. And so we got to understand that trusting God is learning how to get out of your head and trust him as our head. Turn with me over to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's do this real quick. I'm going to read from the New Living, if I may. 1 Peter 1. And I just want to read verse 3 here. First Peter 1, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. Woo! See, while we were a mess in the middle of a mess, God chose us long before. We didn't choose him, he chose us. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Those of you that have received salvation, may God give you more grace and peace. Now, I'm going to the King James on that particular verse because I just want you to hear. It says, elect according, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In other words, God is giving us grace and a multiplicity of peace. It says, blessed be to God the Father, God our Father, Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, that's how much he loves us. His mercy, this is his mercy now, not just his grace. His mercy, his abundant mercy. That abundant mercy is the overflow. You don't need to count it. You don't need to know how it keeps. God keeps having mercy on every day that you live. And you're still out the will of God, you are experiencing his abundant mercy. Because if the wages of sin is death and you're still alive and you're still committing sin, that's his abundant mercy being applied to you. And even us that are called children of the Most High, when we are disobedient, his grace and his mercy is multiplied to us. So it ain't about us, it's about him keeping us. It says that, verse 3 again, it says, so blessed be to God our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has kept which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. By the resurrection. In other words, You may think that life has passed you by. But here, we see in the text that life had ended for Christ. But the power of God raised him from the dead. When you think that there's no more hope, the same power that rose Christ from the grave, which was the end of life, has power to give you life in the midst of where you think life is not. When you think all hope is gone, don't give up hope. He's not done. If I read that from the New Living, that same second verse, that same second and third verse reads as follows. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago by his Spirit. And long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. See, all of us that say you were born into a terrible family, you were born into a bad situation, here's the rebirth process. And let me add this there. Somebody, I heard this statement about a person that went to church and was praying, God help me not to be gay. And to all of those that have prayed a prayer similar to that, that prayer is no different than a murderer saying, Lord, help me not to murder. Or a thief saying, Lord, help me not to see, not to be a thief. The nature of a person that develops in that person is that person without Christ. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That means I can live a pure life. You don't have to pray not to be gay or lesbian, not to be a liar or murderer, not to be a deceiver. All you have to pray is to be right in his sight. That's why we go back to Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God, teach me how to love right. God, teach me how to live right. When we pay attention to the Ten Commandments, we see the first few commandments teaching us how to love God. The others teaching us how to love other people. If I learn how to love you right, I won't lust over you. Therefore, I won't molest you. I won't rape you. I won't abuse you. I won't steal from you. And I won't keep what belongs to you from you. To love my neighbor as myself, I wouldn't do wrong to me. So if I treated you like I would treat me, just like I would buy me nice clothes, just like I would make sure I had food to eat, just like I would make sure that I had shelter, then I would be concerned to ensure that you was able to enjoy the same benefit that I have. I wouldn't want you to walk unless that's what you wanted to do, when there was an opportunity for you to buy a vehicle, to get a vehicle. I would want you to be homeless, unless that was your personal choice to be homeless. Then we were questioning that. When his word has said he'll give us houses that we didn't build. Learning how to live a godly lifestyle is a process. And in that, as we love God, he don't have to tell us not to commit whoredom, not to go and do stuff unlawful. And we're not talking about man's law. We're talking about God's law. When we love God right and we do wrong, we'll go back and try to get it right. On the inside, will compel us to put it in order. Oh, yeah. Romans 5:5 says this. Thank you, like this, Mr. King. New Living Translation says, Romans 5:5 says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. See, when we trust God, not as thy will, Father, but thy will be done. The prayer that Jesus taught the disciples, that when you pray, pray our Father, given, that's given a reference to your heavenly Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the very basic of the opening of that petition puts us in line to know that, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Number one, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love is undefiled. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. And when you don't have a sound mind, what you have is something that God did not give you. I'm going to say it again. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So when you don't have soundness of mind, you have something that God did not give. Let it go. Pick up that which God has for you. And yes, it starts small. Faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed, is very little. Very little. It's like breaking off a piece of your fingernail and popping it in dirt. It's very small. But out of all of the herbs, that mustard seed grows to be a tree. Don't stay a little small plant like all the other herbs. So yes, the seed may start off small, but it starts. Yes, you may not have faith to go and build a Fortune 500 company, but you can start one today, a company. Start your own business. You can invest in yourself. You have to have faith to know that God loves you. I like that from Romans 5:5. It says, and this hope, and this what? This hope. When a King James reader said, it still says the same thing. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. God working some stuff in us. Matter of fact, let me just really go back and just read Romans 5. Just the peace with God. Okay? Peace with God. This is Romans chapter 5. And that God, your faith will bring you true joy. When you hold on to the promises of God, and that's all prayers of petition, to petition God to give what he said he's going to give based on you believing what he said. Verse 1 in Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we ain't been made right because of our deeds. We've been made right because of our faith. It's your faith. When you believe God and you believe that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If his word said it and that settles it, amen, you believe it. Wow. You made right by that. So all of the old you that you did, that's the old former you. Let that man go. Let that person go. Let that individual of doubt and disobedience go and pick up that personality of faith, obedience, and trust in God's holy word. It says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, because of our faith, not because of what church you go to, not because of which translation of the Bible you read. I'm getting deep now. Not because of who your mama or your daddy is, but because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserving privilege. So, yeah, it's true. We don't deserve to be blessed like we are. Yeah, it might be true that you was a mess in the middle of a mess and you don't deserve favor. But that has nothing to do with God's true desire for you. Favor is not meant to be fair. It's just, if it applies to you, it's meant for you. God favored us by his love. And when you experience the love of Christ, you experience it through your faith. Faith is the key that unlocks that door. So because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. With confidence, I want you to know that God wants better in store for you. God don't want you hungry, starving. God don't want you naked. God don't want you without shelter. He wants you to have the things that are necessities of life. That is his desire for you, that your basic needs all be met. There's a difference between your desire and your need. And many times the way we mess up that is we put our desires in the place of our need. And we don't fulfill our need because we are chasing our desires. So I encourage you, don't chase your desires. Allow God to fulfill your need. He said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, in him, he will grant you the desires of your heart. So you don't have to chase desires. God will give it to you if you chase after him. Let me finish reading. Verse 3 says, we can rejoice to see when we run into problems and trials. I know you don't like to hear that part, but we can rejoice. It says, we can rejoice to see. Two, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. That's it. In other words, the trouble that I'm going through is to help me to understand my God is still greater than all my trouble. I wouldn't know God as a healer unless I got sick. I wouldn't know him as a deliverer unless I was lost, unless I was bound. The way we know who God is through our experience. So we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. Wow. Endurance develops strength. People go into a place they are elevated to, but their character is so jacked up that they can't stay there because they allow their character to tear them down. But when we go through the process that God has for us, he carries us where we are able to maintain. So, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strength of confident hope of salvation. So when God do all of these things for us, it fortifies that we're saved. It fortifies our salvation in our mind and our understanding that if God can turn my life around, if God can save me, if God can take me out of whoredom, if God can take me out of a righteous lifestyle, if God can deliver me from the wrong for things that I did, be it small or great, then God can keep me. Verse 5 says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So we can stand in confidence and assurance that just like Hosea was married to a prostitute and redeemed her and her children and called them his, God will redeem us and call us his. And when he redeems us, all of the benefit that goes with that redemption belongs to us. So we can have confidence to know that life things may be challenging, but they are going to be better. We may have trials, but it's still going to be better because we once were doing it on our own. Now we're doing it with Almighty God. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I think it's a safe bet to bet on Jesus. Matter of fact, that's not a bet. That's a sure thing. You know, old movie, many of y'all may remember it from depending on your age. They say, who you going to call? And they say, Ghostbusters. Well, I don't think you need to call a Ghostbuster. But you can call on him who will give you the Holy Ghost, who will bust up everything that's unholy in your life. The Holy Spirit, because light and darkness can't dwell in the same place at the same time. If you're dealing with your identity and sexual wherewithal, you got issues there. The Holy Spirit will sanctify you and let you know what's right and what's wrong. The problem is, will we listen? If we listen, he'll put us in order. That's why Jesus told them, tarry here till I send the Comforter, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Not some truth, all truth. And there's not a person alive can tell the truth and say that the Holy Spirit told them it was okay to be gay or homosexuality or to be married to two men and two women. That is not the Holy Ghost. That is the demonic spirit, and we can prove it all through Scripture. That is not a holy union. Now, if I offended you, okay, but all I'm doing is my very best to keep you from losing your soul in eternal hell fire. So I've told you the truth based on God's word. I pray that you listen. I pray that you follow. The old song used to say, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I love you with the love of Christ. And I just want you to allow Christ to do what Christ does. God bless you. God keep you. Amen. God will see you all tomorrow night on Motivational Monday with yours truly. God bless you. God keep you. Amen. Mission at Ken is back in your hand. Brother Charles is not on here. Let him know I said happy birthday, and I sent him something.
All right. Well, we do have a caller at 216-417. If you wish to join the conversation, press number 1. We'll get your mic open. But right now, mics are open. If anybody has any questions or comments for Pastor Bonnet, we'll be glad to hear from you. And myself, I wanted to say, Pastor Bonnet, you were talking about Roe versus Wade and I see it, there's a lot of parents out there that would love to adopt a baby, so there's no reason for anybody to be murdering an unborn child. There's lots of other options other than murder.
And I got to agree with you there, Kenny, because there's a lot of us down here.
I hit the wrong button. That law has been passed. They have reversed Roe versus Wade. That has been turned over. So it is now illegal for abortions. That is now illegal in the United States. So we got a lot of people that's going to try to fight against it, but there's programs, a lot of churches, a lot of communities that are standing with young women who have fallen into that situation to let them know there is help out there for you to help you not kill your kids.
Kenny, is Six on yet?
No, he's actually taking care of some business, and he's not available right now, so he may have to join you guys tomorrow, he said.
Hello, everybody.
Would you be able to relay a messenger, Princess?
Yes.
Tell him that my mother said to tell her talented son happy belated birthday and God bless him.
Thank you, beautiful.
He said, thank you, beautiful.
Hello, Pastor Bonnet, everybody. Thank you.
He said, hello, Pastor Bonnet, everybody, and thank you.
He's trying to get this phone together so I can call without being charged.
Yeah, well, if you want my opinion, Six, you need to get – I'll have to talk to you about getting a jitterbug phone there. You can get unlimited talk and text on it and also have some other good features.
No, he's having an issue with them charging for data while he's calling into the radio station, so he's trying to get that worked out.
Well, they have, with the jitterbugs, they have the plans that that don't charge extra. You know, they just have a plan that that has the data and everything worked into it, and it's a real good setup. So,
well, maybe talk to him after the program. I'm just telling you what's going
right.
on.
Right, that's what I said. I have to get to talk to him about that. Because they're pretty cool phones.
He's not switching from an iPhone, but anyway, continue with the show, please.
Yeah, I'm planning on that.
Y'all don't give out the whole phone number on air.
Well, I didn't. All I gave was the first three digits.
Okay.
I only said 216. For whatever the next three digits, and that's all I said.
Okay.
And anybody else got any questions or comments for Pastor Bonnet? Or any, what does he call those? Flashbacks, something like that? All right.
I don't know. Pastor Bonnet, are you on mute? Okay. All right.
Well, if not, we'll go ahead and get into our Bloodhound then and see if anybody could dig up this scripture. see how well Nikhil can do with it.
But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Ooh, tells us how to get a little more grace. Amen. And we'll hear that again.
But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Well, guess we're not supposed to be proud. Amen. And we'll hear it one more time for our listeners' sake.
But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
James 4 and 6.
And you are 100% correct. You get the cup of coffee. Hey. That's James 4 and 6.
Thank you.
Good job, Nikhil.
All right. Excuse me.
All right. Now we'll give the one that you have to sniff out by next week.
Yes, sir. All right.
And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all.
Ooh, a good verse on tithing. And we'll hear that a second time.
And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all.
Ooh, so who did this? That's the big question. That will give you a clue as to where to find this. So we'll hear it one last time for our listeners' sake.
And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all.
All right. That's a very good one to sniff out by next week. All right. So, with that, Sister Nikhil, would you like to give us a closing prayer?
I can do that. Hopefully you don't hear the background noise. All right. Father God, we come to you today to say thank you for waking us up and giving us another opportunity to serve you. God, as we praise you and give you all the thanks and glory for your blessings for our life, we appreciate all that you do for us, looking over us and out for us and protecting us and keeping us in good health and strength. Excuse me. We want to thank you for the roof over our head, for the food, and just blessing us to continue on each day and maybe walk, may each of us walk in your footsteps and follow your word each and every day as we go through trials, tribulations, and just everything that we deal with on a daily basis. May we keep you first in our focus in everything that comes across to us. Father God, we just want to thank you, praise you, and as we go through this week, just let our minds stay focused on you and our mental and physical strength continue to bless us so that we can do your work and your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And by way of the last few announcements, first off, if anybody would like to help keep the Six Eyes Radio Network on the air, remember, radio is not cheap, especially for us, but it is free for you to listen to. There are several ways you can help us to stay on the air. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal and enter the email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, 6EYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Another option you have is write Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com, and ask him for the pay to and snail mail information so you can send a check or money order. And once again, God will richly bless you. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very, very much. And finally, by way of if you wish to get this program or any other program here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are several options you can go by doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, go to your podcast section, enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O. When it pops up there, click subscribe, and you'll have us. Hey, the Sunday show, even on a Wednesday night, if you want to listen to it. And, of course, for you Apple users or Android users, you'll need to download the iHeartRadio app first. Once you've downloaded that, you go to your iHeartRadio app, enter Six Eyes Radio, as in the scenario before, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. And then when it pops up there, click subscribe, and you'll have us on demand. And then, of course, another option you have is to go on the internet and go in your browser, type in blogtalkradio.com/sixeyes, blogtalkradio.com/sixeyes. Of course, we are on other platforms. Just go to Google and type in Six Eyes Radio, and you'll be able to find us. So for the team here at Six Eyes Radio, for Brother Six Eyes, Sister Nikhale, and all the team, this is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying God bless, good night, and we'll catch you tomorrow for Motivational Monday at 9 p.m. God bless, everybody.